Weak shot, stop, rebound, they score! Hendrik Sedin with 2 minutes to go, and the Canucks have tied the game at four.
Horvat gets a step, headed for the net against Burns. Bo Horvat scores! What a spectacular goal by Bo Horvat.
With our first selection, we select from the WHL Calgary Hitmen, Jake Virtanen.
This is the C4 Podcast on CanucksHockeyBlog.com. Now, here's Chris, Clay, Matt, and Adam. These guys really need some nicknames.
Welcome to episode 74 of the C4 Podcast. As you just heard, I am Chris Golden at Lightforce, joined in studio by Matt Lee at MattLee980 and Adam at AdamFOC on the Twitters. Clay's not here. Clay has a job, one that pays money, and he couldn't skip it.
I wonder how much Clay makes in comparison to the rest of us. I feel like he makes more than all three of us combined.
Well, you think so?
Well, he puts in a lot of time.
Yeah, that's fair.
He goes on a lot of trips. Like, you got to pay me a lot of money to go to, where was it? Like, where was the Dawson Creek he was in at one point?
Oh, he's been in the Yukon and Northwest Territories.
The beautiful Yukon.
You know,
said no one.
If there is one absolute, he's getting paid more than us right now. Because we don't get nothing.
But is he
this.
Having as much fun as we are?
I can sense the excitement in your voice.
He's dripping with excitement right now.
So what happened last week?
I don't know. You tell me. You were supposed to join us on the podcast and you didn't show.
When was this? Was this last week?
It was last Sunday.
Oh, I remember all the texts. We thought you might have died, Chris.
I was legitimately concerned because usually you're quite reliable. And then you pulled the 5-cent condom in the fact that you were not reliable at all.
You know, that just ruined our general rating in the iTunes podcast directory. Now we've gone slightly PG. Disney is not picking this podcast up. I was in negotiations.
I will be disappointed when Disney does not pick this up to go with all of their Zach and Cody reruns.
Yeah, I don't know what happened. I'll be honest. I can't remember
yesterday.
You just
fell asleep at the wheel.
It's quite possible. I mean, I'm old. It happens. I mean, this is what happens with age.
It's okay. We are glad you're okay.
Yeah, well...
Adam almost didn't show up to this podcast.
Oh, really?
He was thinking about it.
See, I
Adam.
Thought...
I was busy at home building lots
IKEA
of IKEA furniture. Yeah, redid our whole house, basically, and I just got cozy in my new room and didn't really want to leave.
Can I talk about how IKEA furniture is the most infuriating thing I've ever assembled in my life?
Why?
I don't know what it is you bought. What did you buy?
We got, let's see.
LAC?
No.
I do have two LACs.
We got a LAC
house,
table
though.
And a bunch of MALM furniture.
MALM, yeah.
MALM.
I got some
MALM, yeah. Good stuff.
So how much assembly was required in these?
Well, it's full assembly required.
See, I always find how IKEA furniture, and hopefully someone can back me up on this, I always hate how IKEA furniture, it's like you have to like hand screw things and it takes like so much more effort than normal, or how there are like pieces that have to go in the most obscure parts of the furniture.
For a guy that works out as much as you do, Matt.
It's just annoying. Like, why does IKEA furniture have to be so complicated?
Because that way you pay less.
Yeah.
I know, I get it. But it's like the worst Lego I've ever put together in my life.
Well, you know that little Allen key, right?
Yeah.
I'm just going to... Are you using your fingers? Because, I mean,
sometimes
you being
they
you...
Sometimes they don't come with Allen keys, though, is what
I'm saying. Then you go to the parts department, and they give you the spare parts. See, my concern is when you have IKEA furniture, it's luck of the draw. Like, that extra piece, was it supposed to go somewhere? I mean, it's put together, and IKEA was never meant to be taken apart.
Mm-hmm.
I think IKEA is Swedish for permanent.
I guess. I don't know. But,
are you
saying neither of you have ever had a bad experience with IKEA furniture or a frustrating
one?
We
struggled putting it together.
Thank you. That's just what I'm trying to bring up.
But it was a minor struggle. We got over it. And now we're happy.
So. I know. It does take some time, but it's just annoying how it's never simple with IKEA furniture.
I'll concede my wife puts it all together because I don't have the patience to deal with it.
You are such a wuss. You know that?
I'm willing to admit. Falling I'm man
asleep,
enough to admit it.
He's a wuss. His wife, Marnie, God bless her soul, she puts together all the furniture. You're a kept man.
Yes, I am. Yes, I am.
Hockey.
Yeah, let's talk.
Apparently, we're talking hockey.
Hmm. Was there hockey? I mean, I may or may not have seen the games. Well, I saw one of them.
It was an early game.
Yeah. Got up, rolled out of bed, made some coffee, had some cereal, and then the Budweiser red light went off.
Oh, is that how it works? Do you actually have one of those, by the way?
I do.
Do you have one, Adam?
No, God, I'm not that wealthy.
Okay, I actually didn't buy it. There's a story behind this. I go and I tweet, hey, you know, I'd love to get one of these Budweiser Red Lights if anyone wants to give me one. It's my birthday coming up. And a few people replied, oh, yeah, you know, the Canucks should give you one, because they give them away all the time. And I was just being cheeky. Well, one of my followers, at random username, that's her handle, said, hey, I have one. I won one at the bar. I don't want it. You can have it.
Oh, I thought Bud Light, like, actually gave you one.
No, not at all.
So I was like, I was thinking to myself, oh, well, all I have to do is tweet at Budweiser to give me a free Red Light goal light thingamajiggy.
Nope. It was a loyal Twitter follower that provided me that red light. And so it's set up in my house, and it goes off, scares the cat. My wife now has become
accustomed. Does it make a noise?
Oh, yeah. It's a goal horn.
Really?
It's like, wah, and then the light goes off. Like,
that's annoying.
Can you mute it?
Yeah, it's got like a volume toggle, but it is loud. Like, we're talking, it was built for the rink.
Would you want one of these, Adam?
That seems a bit much.
Can we reprogram it for every Seahawks touchdown or something?
Well, so the Blue Jays, every time they hit a home run during the postseason, the light went off.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
That's cool.
So Budweiser, I think, activates certain.
Is it user friendly? I guess is what I'm saying.
It's okay. It's you have to program it with your cell phone.
No, that's okay.
Which flashes like seizure inducing lights at it, and then you connect to it via your Wi-Fi and you tell it to do stuff.
I would like to point out, if anyone's willing to donate a goal light thing to me or Adam, we are welcoming any donations, big or small. We're talking hockey. It's Canucks, Sabres. What's coming up?
Well, Canucks, Sabres. The Canucks played the Penguins. Wasn't the Penguins of old that was in town? And this is apparently Miller's first game in Buffalo since he was traded from Buffalo.
What else we got?
I don't know. What else is happening? There's Movember. I got my purse.
Yeah, are you doing that, by the way?
Yeah. I got my little...
Let me see it.
There's a little caterpillar above my lip here.
I can never tell. It looks about normal.
Crop duster. Cookie catcher.
Do you normally have something like that?
Well, years went by. I had a goatee. And then every November 1st, I was clean shaven, grew the mustache.
It's to the point where I don't even know. But that baby's going to look filthy in about a week from now.
Yeah.
What about you, Adam?
No, I just got the beard.
Beard and mustache, though. It's the goatee thing.
That's the whole
beard. Do you guys like mine?
Yeah, your stash looks so sexy.
I'm putting the X in sexy.
I'm looking for it.
So, the Canucks lost.
What else is new?
Well, and it's not just the Buffalo loss. Let's talk about the Penguins loss.
The Buffalo loss?
The Buffalo loss. That's right.
That's great.
Nice portmanteau.
That's very good.
The Buffalo loss. The loss against the Penguins was one that frustrates me to no end. And I know that I am the Dark Lord as per the Twitterverse. But I was at the Penguins game. I was fortunately provided tickets. So my wife and I went to the game. We went to watch. And I was excited for maybe the first, I don't know, 2 minutes. And the two things that occurred to me. One, the Canucks is as if they had decided not to necessarily play that night. It's like they were already on the road trip. And the Pittsburgh Penguins are the new version of the New Jersey Devils. They trapped the hell out of that game. In fact, Sidney Crosby is now a defensive forward.
Yeah, and they were bringing up before the game how Pittsburgh, I believe, and I can't remember if that's still the case, they're the best defensive team in the NHL.
In terms of goals against?
Yes.
Okay.
I mean, that's kind of alarming given how much firepower is up front.
Well,
I don't know.
But like, it's a defensively responsible team. And it didn't help that you had a Vancouver Canucks team who was giving the puck up any chance they could get. At one point, I think puck possession numbers were just drastically in Pittsburgh's favor.
I find it ironic how Nick Bonino is now on the team as the shutdown defensive center for the Penguins after Brandon Sutter gets traded to Vancouver.
You know, I was watching the Buffalo game today, and I just remembered the Brandon Sutter contract extension, and I just shook my head, man. And I think it's just, you know, talking about how the Canucks just kind of stink or have the past little while, it's kind of just what we all expected going into the season. Maybe we got our hopes up a little bit with a relatively hot start. But I can't really get too up in arms about this because I think we all kind of saw this coming, and now it finally is coming.
In case people forgot, 4.375 for the next 4 years for Brandon Sutter.
It's not our...
Yeah, just mediocrity for the foreseeable future.
It's not our place to go and dispute the validity of the contract.
Very Lucas quickly,
Spisa got one.
Very quickly on the Pittsburgh game, it was a nice little comeback, for lack of a better word, for the Canucks. Well, but
that's the thing. You look at the second period, the Canucks come out gangbusters. Yannick Hansen was by far the best Canuck on the ice for the night. Breakaway hits the post. Now, people are like, oh, if only that went in. Well, Penguins had posts just as well. As per any goaltender that would tell you, it's great positioning when the post comes into play like that. But the Canucks then went quiet again until the, well, I don't know, 3 minutes left in the third period when they started the full court press. And suddenly Pittsburgh, stuck in their own end, I think for almost 2 minutes before the first goal was scored, and all they could do was ice the puck.
Yeah, I remember that sequence.
So it's interesting how a Vancouver Canucks team that can exert that much pressure and all of a sudden generates offense and mistakes from the opposition, why is it that they don't play that way for an entire game? Also, just unbelievably frustrated with how you have Derek Dorsett, who's normally a relatively smart player, reacting as he did when he got checked from behind Kessel.
Yeah,
someone at the Lions game called him Fat Boy Phil Kessel, but I don't exactly know relevance to what, because entirely different sport. But Phil Kessel went all, stick swinging on him. But yet he gets the 2 minutes, goes off. Now the penalty or power play the Canucks were going to have is negated. And then he does it again later on. I think it was this time against Fair or someone, where Dorsett goes and gets the extra two. It was just...
Is it a reputation thing?
But that's things. Dorsett doesn't have that reputation. It was real odd. He lost his mind. I had mentioned this to you guys before we came on air. Even though the tickets were free, I actually was wondering at one point during the game, man, I could be doing something else right now.
It's pretty disappointing. Because you think with a Pittsburgh game, Sidney Crosby and Geno Malkin coming to town, that would have all the makings of at least a premium game.
And I bet it was premium priced.
I'm not going to lie. I watched the game from the gym. Well, I was on the treadmill watching the game. And I was just like,
humble brag, Matt?
No, I'm just saying, like, I just didn't even care enough to physically watch the game from my own home.
But isn't that sort of where the season is right now? Like, the Buffalo loss, I only saw bits and pieces of it.
Doesn't it feel like the Canucks are just, like, such a damper on the podcast so far, but doesn't it feel like the Canucks are just existing through the regular season right now?
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much.
That's probably the best way of putting it.
And Matt, I know we've got this outline, and I'm kind of going to jump ahead a little bit here. You've got some notes about playing the kids, and, you know, McCann only played 2.5 minutes in the third period, 2:45 in the third period of the Buffalo game. And
The Buffalo loss,
yeah. And it's just, I think, I don't know, correct me if I'm wrong, Chris, if you knew that the guys like McCann and Vertanen were going to be playing a lot more, would you be okay with, you know, a few more goals against and stuff like that? If you got a chance to see these guys really put everything out on the line.
Oh, sure. Like I think I've said this before. I have no problem if you put the young kids in a position to gain that experience and make those mistakes. It's going to happen. But right now, as it stands, if Vertanen or McCann go and make one mistake, benched. Yep. They suddenly just collect slivers for the rest of the game. And that part frustrates me. It's not like the mistakes disappear. You see some seasoned veterans making mistakes. Case in point, the winning goal in the Buffalo loss was a result of one of the most experienced players the Canucks have throwing the puck away.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying you go and bench Daniel, but you're going to see these mistakes occur. So why not allow the kids that opportunity to produce?
Let's talk about mistakes. I mean, for those who missed it, we're probably burying the lead a little bit here. But after the game, Ryan Miller, obviously a little frustrated. It was his return to Buffalo for the first time since, what was it, 2014?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he was obviously amped up for this one. It was his big return, and the Canucks surrendered the last-minute goal to Rasmus Ristolainen with 16 seconds left. If you missed it, here were Ryan Miller's comments.
I thought we probably made a couple mistakes out there that cost us. I mean, we need some kind of spark here. I thought we were starting to get it there, but it's attention to detail for us. We got to have better awareness. I don't think a D-man can be in the slot walking down and then get contested by your D-man in the last minute. It's a pretty critical error. But you have to battle and try and find a way out of it. And I made a nice cross-body, cross-screen shot, and that's all she wrote.
It's awareness, D-man in the slot. It was a critical error. Is anyone else, like, thinking he was out of line.
But any other player that were to say that, I mean, he's a leader on the team. You expect your leadership to go and speak up. I get that there's the unwritten rule you don't go and trash your team in the public.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, you leave it in the locker room. But
was he within his rights?
Well, he didn't come out and specifically name names. He didn't identify players.
To, though. We knew who it was he was sort of selling down. He was selling down the Sedins.
Well, you look at the...
And kind of Hutton to an extent.
Yeah, and you look at the replay, and it almost appears like the Sabres were on a power play because there's a Vancouver Canuck out in the corner just watching things. Oh, this is pretty cool.
Barkowski.
Oh, wow. That was a great goal. Yeah, he was essentially in the front row.
Yep.
Just happened to be in front of the glass. If I'm a goaltender who's been playing quite well, I mean, the Canucks' record is at what it is because Miller has looked good. You got to get frustrated at some point, and then eventually you go, snap.
Yeah, and especially in such an emotional game for him. You know, there was a video tribute. He got a standing ovation and everything. And I kind of liken it back to a certain degree to the whole Richard Sherman NFC Championship thing. You know, in such emotional situations, you are going to get complete honesty, right? For better, for worse. This time, you know, maybe he shouldn't have said it, but he did. And I think he was well within his right. Granted, he gave up 3 goals on 22 shots, not the best, but still, you know, when you have that much excitement, anticipation, then it all comes falling apart in the last minute. I don't know. I think you have every right to be upset.
I think Jason Botchford, though, had a good point, though. I mean, what if Roberto Luongo was still in town and he said those exact same comments? Don't you think it would have been such a fire starter in terms of conversation?
Well, Luongo in the market was more divisive than really Miller has been. I mean, there are obviously a number of people in the market who aren't necessarily pro-Miller, but Luongo was a 50-50 split. There are a lot of people who did not like him and a lot of people who did.
Yeah, but I think you still got to treat them as though they're the same kind of person. I mean, they're both the same goaltender. They're both here supposed to be playing leadership roles on the team. And here was Ryan Miller calling out, you know, the Sedin twins. These guys are the captains of the team.
But
they made an egregious error. I mean, yeah, they are. If they are the leaders, then they shouldn't be making those kind of mistakes.
Yeah.
You know?
And, I mean, to be fair, and I'll play it here in a second here, but Daniel Sedin obviously took ownership for the mistake as well.
That turnover can't happen on that offensive blue line and cost us the game. It's unfortunate because I thought we played well enough to win the game. And aside from those first 5 minutes, like I said, I thought we played real well.
So maybe I'm overreacting. Possibly, because Daniel did take ownership of the error.
Before the comments from Miller.
I don't remember.
Yeah,
I can't remember.
Yeah, based on what Botcher reported, those comments from Daniel came before the comments from Miller.
So, I mean, in the locker room, it's probably a non-issue, but it doesn't sit well with me when a goaltender like Ryan Miller would make such explicit comments like that.
I just think it's a heat-of-the-moment thing. You know, if he waited another half hour, he wouldn't have said those things. I don't know. It's a non-story getting blown out of proportion to me.
Is it also a buildup of frustration? I mean, the Canucks have notoriously been bad in third periods this season.
Oh, damn straight. They're the Seattle Seahawks of the NHL right now.
Good point. Excellent comparison.
But I just want to ask you this. Would you rather Miller just simply say, you know, we played real well, and it's unfortunate that that occurred. It was a mistake, but we're going to buckle down. We're going to take it to the next game.
Yeah, I think it's good that he's pissed off.
Yeah.
He should be pissed off. Everybody should be pissed off. It's a terrible, you know, terrible mistake. And you can't just be like, oh, those things happen and we'll get better. We'll learn from it.
Is it the kind of thing that sort of lights a fire under the seat of everybody's pants a little bit, maybe?
Maybe. But we won't know until we see the next couple of games.
See, maybe I'm, again, overreacting. I just think maybe it was a little soon for him to be making such comments. I mean, the Canucks aren't necessarily in too much of a slide. They could be better. But they could certainly be worse right now. So had this been in the midst of a 5-game slide, I could see it. But this is game one of a 7-game road trip.
And how many games has he played?
Everyone except one.
Right. I think we look at, oh, it's too early. Should have been doing this, you know, maybe mid-season in a mid-season slump or near the end when they need to buckle down. How many times do we see that those few games you win or lose at the start of the season where you lose those points do add up at the end when you're in that playoff? And I think no one here is going to say that the Vancouver Canucks are going to win the division. So they're going to be fighting for that 7-8 spot if they're going to make the playoffs. Those are necessary points. If anything, the Canucks were going to get a point out of Buffalo. And on any road trip, if you can get a point on your first game, that's a win, even if you lose in overtime or a shootout.
All right. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back, and then we will talk about individual performances from the Canucks, all coming up right here on the C4 Podcast on CanucksHockeyBlog.com.
All right, you guys, let's listen up. We won a game yesterday. If we win one today, that's two in a row. We win one tomorrow, that's called a winning streak. It has happened before. So let's see some hustle. Let's jack it up a little. I got a feeling things are about to turn around for us.
I just want to point out one of the best sports movies of all time.
Oh, yeah. Major League?
Yeah.
Adam, you've seen it, right?
No, I haven't. I actually didn't know what that was from. Whoa,
you need to watch Major League. It's.
I'm young, you guys.
I feel, well, I'm like maybe, what, 2 years older than you? You got to watch it. It's on Netflix,
by the
way.
You're an 80s kid, man.
It's on Netflix.
Okay.
Yep. Major League. Watch it. Major League 2, Major League 3. Yeah, but Major League. And apparently there was rumor that they were going to actually make a reboot.
Oh, I'd be down for that. Yeah. Who would play Wild Thing? Doesn't matter. We'll talk about it another day. Adam mentioned this off the top of the show. We were going to discuss it later. Later is now. The kids. I mean, the growing pains are going to come. You know, I watched Ben Hutton today. I thought we saw the best and the worst of Ben Hutton when he set up the Canucks goal to get on the board, I think. Was the 2-1?
It was the first one, yeah.
Yeah, it was the first one for Henrik Sedin, where he carried the puck in on his own, and he really helped set the tone, or set the table at least, for Daniel to set up Henrik. But then he's there getting caught in no man's land on Rasmus Ristolainen's eventual game winner.
Yeah, I mean, he's still a rookie. You're going to see struggles from any person or any player in the first year, but I think, you know, we do see those signs of brilliance, or, you know, for lack of a better word, and I think that's what you got to be looking forward to. Everybody's going to be making mistakes. So
Ed Jovanovski made mistakes. I mean, he lived on the edge. That was one of the things that we embraced about him. He scored goals, he generated offense, generated opportunity, but that higher risk, high reward game, you know, has its drawbacks. Kevin Bieksa, where did he get the name Casual Kev from? The same type of play. And right. Yet, we're okay because those veteran players are veteran players, therefore they can make mistakes. But because you're a young kid who you are expected to, or who is expected to make mistakes, that's a bad thing. Makes no sense to me.
Other good players, or at least young players, I thought that were really sticking out for the best and the worst reasons. Jake Virtanen. He seemed to generate a lot of good scoring chances. He was in on a loan on one chance against Ullmark, but he was denied. He also took two penalties, one of which set up a power play goal for Rasmus Ristolainen in the second period as well. So I guess, once again, with the same coin, Jay Virtanen, you keep playing a guy like that, who's going to play on the edge?
Well, that's the role that they wanted Zach Cassian to play.
And he's playing it pretty well, actually, if you think about it. If you put Virtanen on the same pedestal, and I don't want to, as Zach Cassian, he is filling that role quite well.
And, you know, I think it needs to be said that we're not necessarily advocating that they get, you know, 20 minutes in a game. But there's no reason why...
Virtanen got 11, by the way, if anyone's wondering.
To me, like, between 10 and 15 minutes seems about right, depending on the style of the game. But you often see, you know, Virtanen, I think, in the Penguins game got, what, 2 minutes in a third period? If that...
Something like that.
Like, and that... It's...
It's all... contingent on game flow.
Yeah, but that it why have him sit on the bench? Because to me, you've shortened your bench in a game where you need to actually generate some form of energy and excitement, and he does that.
Sven Berchi, anyone got any thoughts?
Yeah, I think I was watching the game this morning, and everybody was tweeting about Berchi, and it's just like, I feel like because we don't have a goalie controversy, we just have to make a new controversy. And we've chosen Sven. He's a young guy, same kind of thing. You know, maybe he's a bit older than these other rookies, but he's still really just finding his feet in the NHL. I don't know. There's going to be struggles, and today he was really making plays. I'm happy with where Sven is personally.
Chris,
well, I'm not going to say I'm unhappy with where Berchi is, but I think what do we expect from him?
Yeah, you know what? I've been thinking about this a little bit over the last couple weeks, or at least over the last few games, and I know I've been pretty hard on Sven Berchi, but to Adam's point, I think fans should probably give Sven Berchi a little bit of a longer leash just because of how young he still is. And it does take time for guys like Sven Berchi to adapt to the NHL. We saw it with guys like Nino Niederreiter, a fellow Swiss. Swiss? Swiss?
Yeah, Sven Berchi.
Sven is Swiss,
Swiss,
right?
I think.
It's yeah. Sven. I mean, what?
His name's Sven.
Yeah, I mean, Berchi has had these Niederreiter comparisons, and it took Niederreiter his second team before he really started to click with the Minnesota Wild. So I think from that standpoint, yeah, you got to give Sven Berchi some time and maybe a little bit of love as well. But you saw some flashes. I thought he had a great first period. He was generating some scoring chances.
Yeah, and I think I don't have the numbers in front of me, but he got to play. You know, Willie was rolling all his lines all game against Buffalo, but same kind of point with the other kids. You know, as soon as Berchi makes a mistake, his butt's on the bench for the rest of the game, and that doesn't help anybody.
Well, if you consider where the Canucks are in a game where they could have McCann, Vertanen, Berchi, and
Horvat.
I guess Horvat would still fall into the mix, even though he's a sophomore. If he shortens his bench, because let's say those four players make mistakes, you've just taken one entire line and ultimately gutted the third. So you're now a two-line team. And how does playing Cracknell or Dorsett, Higgins, make you a better team if you're shortening your bench? And that's not to knock those players. It's just that in a fourth-line role, that the fourth line is about getting out there, generating some energy, and taking up the time to give rest for your top three lines to then go and do their job.
Does Jared McCann deserve a little bit more work? 10 minutes in Buffalo, 10 in Pittsburgh, 13 in Philadelphia. I'm assuming that was probably a season high for him. And 11 against Arizona and 9 against Dallas.
I think he quietly had one of his best games today. I set up a number of chances. He was the one that really created the opportunity for Higgins on the game-tying goal. And we saw a couple times his laser of a shot. And, I mean, maybe you can't roll him out there, you know, super late in the game, but I think you just want to get him on the ice, get him on the power play, let him, you know, get that shot on the ice.
I would say that, to Adam's point, Jared McCann deserves more offensive opportunities. You can't keep playing him with fourth line guys, I think. Like, is it time that he got maybe a look on a scoring line role, like where Bo Horvat is? And maybe drop Horvat back to a third line role? Is that kind of crazy?
Well, sorry, you want to switch Horvat and McCann up?
I'm not saying permanently. I'm just saying, you know, try McCann out with some more offensive players.
So are we suggesting that you put McCann in the middle or on the wing? With these
on the middle, where his natural position is. Where has he been playing normally? Has he been on the wing?
He's been on the wing for the most part.
Like, and there are times when there are two centers on the ice, even if he is in the middle.
Okay, well, if he's been playing on the wing, then would you not explore an opportunity with McCann with Horvat then?
Well, no, and that's, to me, that makes better sense than switching the two.
Sure. I mean, would you explore an idea like that? Maybe Higgins, Horvat, and McCann another game?
Higgins and McCann looked really good today.
Yeah, exactly.
Together. Yeah, that actually, and Higgins would provide some stability to it.
And has Burrows been playing with the Sedins lately, or has it been back to Verbata?
No, it's been Verbata. I don't think Burrows even really got a look with them today.
So I guess you have Sedins with Verbata, you try a Horvat, McCann, and Higgins experiment, and then you're left with what? Sutter,
Hansen,
Burrows, and Hansen, probably?
And that actually, Burrows and Hansen together aren't that bad of a pair. I mean, put Sutter in the middle.
So what does that leave here?
And you have a fourth line of
Berchi, Dorsett, and Cracknell?
I guess so. I mean, Vertanen.
Are we leaving out somebody? I feel
Vertanen.
Like.
Well, I don't think we
can. Oh, yeah, Vertanen.
I don't think you can put Berchi in a checking line role.
Yeah, that's right. I don't know. It's tough. All I'm saying is I think Jared McCann deserves more opportunities because he's been the most offensive of the kids thus far.
Well, he's got some serious swag. Like, I remember going to the season ticket holder summit a couple years ago and he was asked, hey, what NHL player do you most see yourself as? And
did he say Ryan Kesler?
Said Ryan Kesler.
Oh, my God.
And he said it, like, straight up. Like, he knew that that was going to be his answer. He knew that the response wasn't necessarily going to be the most friendly one. And when given the opportunity to sort of, you know, correct himself, it's like, no, I see myself as a Ryan Kesler. And if you look at how he plays, he does play with that sort of chip on his shoulder. And he's a smaller guy, so he's probably had to grow up proving himself everywhere he's played.
Do you worry sometimes that McCann will turn out exactly like Ryan Kesler?
No.
Like, I'm saying, like, exactly like Ryan Kessler. You know what I'm talking about.
I do. That's my answer. No.
You don't worry?
No.
I guess.
What? Do you? Why do you? What reason do you have to worry?
I don't know. I mean, even going back to when he was drafted, you could tell that he was, I don't want to say cocky, but he was definitely very confident in himself.
I like that. I mean, you and I praised Hosang for that, and maybe that's kind of bit him in the butt lately, but I don't know. I have no problem with confidence. I think it's
I probably should give him the benefit of the doubt, but I don't know. I mean, the Canucks have been just jaded by Ryan Kessler in the past, so.
But there's nothing wrong with confidence if you can back it up. Like, yeah, look at McCann.
Yeah, I get you.
You know, what do you think of your chances are staying with the team? It's like, is there any doubt? And in the following game, now there's no doubt. This is a kid who's going and, you know, maybe being spoken to afterwards. Hey, you know, from a media standpoint, you know, you put us in a tough spot. But if that's the worst, let's have it. I mean, when was the last time the Canucks actually had swagger?
Yeah.
When they had Kessler in 2011.
Ooh. Moving forward, Vancouver Canucks taking on the New Jersey Devils this afternoon. I think now might be a good time to relook at the Corey Schneider-Bo Horvat deal. Adam and I were talking about this texting last week. But does anybody still think about the Schneider versus Horvat deal? Chris, what are you thinking?
I don't think about it. I think now that we know what we got with Horvat, who out there has a problem with, outside of the fact, though, how the goaltending situation is necessarily panned out, I think there's a portion of the fan base that would prefer that Schneider had never left town.
Mm-hmm.
But for what we got with Horvat, no problem.
Is this one of those, I mean, because the trade was being judged right from the outset, and I think there were everyone was wondering if this was going to be a situation where the Canucks lost another trade or if they actually got a great deal in Horvat. But could you make the argument that this deal worked out quite well for both teams?
Yeah, I think you, maybe not a, you know, a bona fide number one centerpiece, but you get a great piece to start building a team around in Horvat while the team does this quasi-rebuild. And then the Devils get, you know, bona fide starter, number one guy that they can, you know, they don't score a lot of goals. They still don't score a lot of goals. And Schneider's the guy that can kind of save their butts.
Corey Schneider, is he what Roberto Luongo predicted would be a potential perennial Vezina candidate, or is he just a good starting goaltender?
Good starting goaltender.
I would say better than that. If he was playing on a team like, say, the Blackhawks, he would be getting tons of consideration.
Yeah. I think he's not as good. Maybe, and again, maybe it's a product of being on New Jersey, but I would say that in terms of value, it will be quite close between Horvat 5 years from now and Schneider presently and into the next 3 years.
So then I ask you this. Let's say Schneider, that trade doesn't happen. Canucks still have Schneider in net. Is this team in a different place? I know that then means there's a trickle-down effect of many other changes that may or may not have occurred, but I don't see how Schneider makes this squad different.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at Schneider to Miller, the difference, I think, would be negligible. I don't see that much of a difference between the two.
In longer term, possibly, but even then, and you know, if Schneider is playing as well as he would have needed to have success with the Canucks,
yeah,
can the Canucks afford him? So I look at that in reference of today, and it worked out. I mean, sort of as you mentioned earlier, why were people upset when that trade went on? Well, one, two reasons. One, you never know what you get with a draft pick, and two, you had the Vancouver Canucks drafting said player. So when Bo Horvat's name's announced, everyone's like, oh, he looks like all around a good guy. But wait, the Canucks drafted him, so that's not a good sign.
Yeah, I mean, I'll wait one more year to judge this trade fully because we'll probably see Horvat starting to come into his peak or his prime. But, you know, I think you're pretty happy with what the Canucks have got in Bo Horvat so far. And there's still the potential. He might not get to second-line center status, but I think he will be a solid 50 to 60-point player for the Canucks for the next 5 to 10 years.
I would consider that solid second line.
Yeah, I guess so.
50 to 60 points, that's more than you
can. I don't know. Maybe people were optimistic and thinking maybe it's 70, but I think 50 to 60 is a pretty good bet. Yeah.
So, actually, just on that note, if, let's say, the Sedins were to retire at some point, does Horvat have what it takes to be the number one center on this team? Because if he's not, who else is there?
That's the thing. That's what everybody is always looking for.
That's the transition that everyone's dreading, right?
Yeah.
And I have no problem with him as a second line center. And you look at Ryan Kesler, that's the role he played. And as much as he may have, been frustrated that that was where he would be forevermore, the fact remains his success was predicated on the fact that he was on the second line and the number one shutdown line of any team they played went up against the Sedins. So I like Horvat as a number two. I just don't necessarily see him as number one.
Austin Matthews.
I think if the Twins were to retire tomorrow, Horvat would be the default.
We'd have to be
number one. Yeah, I know.
Well, no one's saying Brandon Sutter here.
Oh God. But that's what everybody or every team is always looking for, you know. And it took some of these bottom feeders a long time to get those guys. But you know, like the McDavids and the Eichels, sometimes you luck into them. But who knows? Who knows?
Moving on, maybe some comments on Jared McCann and Jake Virtanen actually staying. Was anyone really surprised by both?
Oh, I was.
Adam?
A little bit.
I was too.
I'm happy they are.
I really thought in my heart that Jake Virtanen actually was going to get sent down.
Okay, and that's what shocked me. I thought McCann had done enough to stay, but the way that Virtanen was being utilized and the fact that he couldn't get himself into games at the start of the season,
yeah,
I had me believing that he was on his way back down to junior.
Yeah, I'm a little surprised, but again, Virtanen's role is clearly defined. He's not being asked to be a scoring winger. He's a third line grinder that's just doing his job really well right now.
Who was it that he laid out in the Flyers game? Like, he was actually on the receiving end of a hit, and the Flyer bounced off Virtanen as if it was like a fly into the window of a bus.
Do you remember?
I was working. I didn't watch the game.
It was like, I remember watching it on replay, and he Virtanen is built tough, and that to me is the type of player the Canucks need more of. But he's still just a kid. Wait till he grows up.
Yeah, and I think you hit it right there on the head at the end there, is that Virtanen is still 19, 20 years old, and wait till he becomes just a giant wrecking ball. Mm-hmm. Hey, can we pose a nickname suggestion? Is Dirty Verdi? Did you not like that when I texted you?
I did.
That to you?
I chuckled.
Dirty Verdi sounds like a great nickname for Virtanen.
Better than Big Country.
Oh, God.
Yeah, Big Country is stupid, by the way.
So just want to point out the last
Dirty Verdi.
I have no issue with it, but
Hutton 316.
Yeah, Hutton 316. wasn't it? Yeah, it was us who we partnered with Jay Jones. You guys might know him on Twitter at Bar Jonesing. He used to be executive bartender for the Donnelly Group. He was with the executive bartender with the Vancouver Canucks recently, and now he's at Vigas. Jay and us got together and we put together some drinks, one of which was called a Dirty Higgins. And that didn't go over so well with the team. So I can't imagine they'd be happy that we'd be calling him Dirty Verdi.
Yeah, but it just sounds so good off the tongue.
I like Hutton 316.
And especially if Virtanen becomes like this big, rugged winger that everyone wants him to be. Dirty Verdi sounds great.
Vert's bringing the hurt.
Hurdy Verdi?
No, that doesn't sound good.
See, that doesn't sound good.
You just ruined it, man.
Dirty Verdi sounds better. It's just the fact of life. Coming up, we're going to talk a little ACHB and a little haiku, all coming up on the C4 podcast.
Garth, that was a haiku.
I guess this is me, eh?
Mm-hmm.
I guess so. Clay's not here. We're doing haikus for him because that's how we do. Very quickly, though, there is a pre-haiku that was sent to Clay from friend of the podcast, Larry Wong. Said, early morning game, expansion cousins battle, Sabres get last laugh.
Hey, that's actually pretty good. But on that note, Vancouver was in the Eastern Conference when they joined the NHL. Was Buffalo there as well?
I don't know. Adam and I were in, you know,
nowhere.
We weren't even.
My
parents
weren't even married.
We weren't even.
But can I ask why they're cousins? Because why not brothers?
That's a good point.
Because they're in the same, like, if the NHL is their
daddy
parent that gave birth to both teams,
wouldn't they technically be brothers?
Yeah. Why are they cousins?
Well, they came from different leagues, did they not? Previous to the NHL? I don't know. Whatever.
Were the Sabres from the WHA and the Canucks in the WHL? I want to say it was something along that vein.
Yeah. Who knows? Whatever. Nice haiku.
Thanks. While Adam debates family squabbles, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
My haiku. Canucks and Sabres. Cassian and Hodgson rematch. no one won this trade.
I think you had one too many syllables.
No, I didn't. I counted it. So if you do, Cassian as
Cassian. Oh, Cassian is three. Get over yourself.
That's not.
How is Cassian in any way two syllables?
Cassian.
That's like someone going and saying Mississippi is Miss Yippie.
I'm going to let Clay debate that one.
Mm-hmm.
Go, Chris.
No. I want Adam to go next.
Okay, well, here we go.
All right. This team is boring. Besides, no one likes Dorsett, so play the kids more.
I wonder how Adam feels.
I wonder how Derek Dorsett feels.
Fight me, Derek.
He might.
No. We need Adam for future episodes.
Oh, okay. My turn. If I'm the Dark Lord, who are Adam and Clayton? Matt, I am your father.
Oh, I wish I had that clip here. I'll find it.
What clip is this?
You know what I'm talking about.
Whatever. But no, with the CHB haiku, and if you ever want to reach out to us and have your haiku included on any episode, hashtag it. Hashtag CHB haiku. That's how Matt finds this stuff. Either that or let Clay at Cannot Clay know. When he's on episodes, he makes sure to share all of our listeners' epic haiku creations.
I'm trying to find it.
Obi-Wan. He's just playing random Star Wars.
Yeah, there it is. There you go.
So it was the no.
30 seconds later, I found it.
Yeah, way to go, Matt. So here we are wrapping up another episode of the C4 podcast. It is in the bag. But before I get some final words, you may or may not be aware that Adam and I got into a very serious debate over a Twitter poll that I had published over the course of the week.
Oh, I have no recollection of this at all now.
So to set this up, this debate up, I had tweeted out a simple poll asking all of my followers, as well as C4 listeners, a very simple question. When it comes to a peanut butter jelly sandwich, do you put the peanut butter on first, or do you put the jelly on first, or jam in this case? And I was just curious, you know, there's a debate, you know, jelly or jam before the peanut butter after, and Adam just went like,
bananas?
My blood is boiling right now just like hearing you talk about this.
Okay, well, let me first denote that I'm allergic to peanut butter.
Okay, well, you've just...
So I'm already out of this poll. Yeah.
Okay, but to me, it's completely inconsequential which you put on first because you put them both on separate sides of the bread. Why would you ever put them on the same side? Like, do you put your jam-covered knife in your peanut butter?
No, because my peanut butter goes first.
Okay, so do you put your peanut butter-covered knife in your jam?
Damn straight.
Oh, my God. Is this the same... this guy... I said this on Twitter. This is
There's
probably
no
the same
reasoning
guy.
With this animal.
No, he's a monster. He probably mixes his salsa and sour cream with his
nachos. No. Too. Whoa. Let's not get unreasonable here. Salsa and sour cream are meant to be kept apart. You do one or the other. You do eat the salsa. It spices things up. Then eat the sour cream. That smooths things over. It's about, you know, balance. But this whole, like... concept of you got two pieces of bread. What happens if you only have one piece of bread? That's all you have, one piece of bread. What are you going to do?
Then you don't
one
make
or the
a
other?
Sandwich. You can't have a sandwich with one piece of
yeah,
bread.
Yeah, you can. You
and
cut you it in
just
half.
Toast
okay,
put
then
the
you
jam
have two slices
it.
Of bread if you cut
oh,
one
so you're,
in half.
So you're going to go and you're going to like, oh, I'm going to put it here. So actually, on that note, when
this
you're
podcast
making,
is so off the when rails,
you're making that,
play.
When you're making that sandwich, you have two pieces of bread, one with peanut butter and one with jam. Are you using two knives?
I don't know.
Yeah, obviously, you are. You're wasteful.
If I was not allergic to peanut butter. I would have used two knives.
Okay, wasteful.
That seems disgusting,
you know,
mixing
you,
the peanut
you,
butter
you,
with the jam.
Thank you.
You young people are the reason that the world's gone to heck in a handbasket.
Is it, or is it because you guys ruined it for us?
I don't think so. I'm pretty sure that we were the ones that were doing things simple back in the day. And you guys go and do crazy stuff like that. You're wasteful. You're using two knives.
Although, to Chris's point, and I don't think this is remotely the same, when I make a sandwich with, like, let's say mayonnaise and cheese, and I have to cut the cheese, like myself, I will use the same knife.
I'll give it a quick wipe, I'll rinse it or something.
Or, well, no, so I'll use the cheese, okay. I'll cut the cheese first, and then I'll put the mayonnaise, because I don't want to use the mayonnaise and then cut the cheese, because
yeah.
That seems
so
disgusting.
So, what happens when you just want, like, a jam sandwich? You already have peanut butter in your jam.
No, because the
you can't have one without the other now.
The peanut butter doesn't come off the knife. If you put your jam first, then your peanut butter, then get jam all in your peanut butter, it just messes things up. Anyhow.
Episode 74, when CHB lost all credibility.
That's right. Final words, Matt.
No.
Okay, Adam.
I am done.
He's Adam's flipping tables over. The Canucks are losing games. Chris is using the same knife and his peanut butter and his jam.
I know.
It's just anarchy for Adam right now.
I do have some final words, and I'm actually going to get a shout out to our competition, the Game Time Decision podcast. They actually had Clay and I on a couple weeks
back. Yeah, I want to talk about that, by the way.
Oh, no, you did.
You committed podultery.
No, not at all. I went out there. I called Clay a traitor.
It's podultery.
I called Clay a traitor. I've been knocking Game Time Decision.
You went on to our podcast, and the same night you went to that podcast, did you not?
No.
Yes, you did.
No, they record their podcast for a Monday release like the week before.
Oh.
Yeah, so it's not us.
But still the same pod alter.
Whatever. The point being is I do want to give a shout out to them because they do some good work. They did call us out in their last episode, though, and therefore...
Whoa!
Therefore, the Game Time Decision podcast, dead to me. Dead
what
to the dark.
What did they say?
Well, apparently they're actually connecting with someone from the organization, and they're recording their podcast from some location. They specifically said, you can't get from C4. You can't get from the other podcasts. And I'm like, dude, our studio is better than your studio.
I don't understand. They said they're recording from some secret location. What?
Well, ultimately, I think they're going to the rink.
Whoopee.
Yeah, and that's why I said our studio is better than your studio. 9 times out of 10, twice on Sundays.
I don't even know who's on the Game Time Decision podcast.
Game Time
Decision. Was it Furland?
No, it's not. It's Ryan Beach and Mike Paris. They're actually two stand-up dudes.
Who's the second guy?
Mike Paris.
I don't even know who that is.
Well, you should. They're our competition. You got to know our competition. Now, I just want to put it out there. You know, they're great guys. They've had a crap ton of episodes, but they're no C4.
What's their policy on peanut butter and jam
sandwiches?
I was
just going to ask that exact same thing. You know what? If they're on my side, I don't care. They can call us out as much as they want.
Mike and Ryan, I know you listen to our podcast because you're always looking for pointers. We want to know, what is your stance on peanut butter and jam sandwiches?
Also, what's their stance on Lucas Pisa?
And Lucas Pisa. Anyhow, I think it's time to wrap this one up before we further drive the train off the
tracks. We need Clay back more than ever.
Yeah, no kidding. But if you're ever looking to find the C4 podcast, we are online at CanucksHockeyBlog.com. You can find us on Facebook, Facebook.com/the C4podcast, or Facebook.com/CanucksHockeyBlog. On behalf of Matt Lee at MattLee980, Adam at AdamFOC, Clay, who's not here, at Canuck Clay, I am Chris Golden at Lightforce, signing off of episode 74 of the C4 podcast. With all that, we're out.
Thanks for listening to the C4 podcast on CanucksHockeyBlog.com.